Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Weekly Devs Brew, where we sit down with the minds shaping modern web development. Today we're joined by someone who's helping revolutionize how we build for the web. If you've ever felt the excitement of seeing your changes instantly reflected in the browser without painful rebuilding and stuff, you might have had Matthias Capoletto to thank for this. Known as Patak in the community, Matthias is a Vite core team member and works on open source at StackBlitz. Bolt? We'll talk about that in a
minute. Yeah. Hey.
How are you doing today, Matthias?
I'm great. That was an amazing intro. Like one of the best ones I've seen so far.
Thank you. I appreciate this.
Yeah, very happy to be here in the coffee shop with you.
I should have called this coffee shop. This is so perfect. You've been with the community for a while now. I've seen you doing Vite stuff for a couple of years now online. How did you get into this?
Yeah, so I was doing open source a long time ago, like some C++, like let's say like 20 plus years ago. Like I'm old. and for a while I was doing some like web engine, like graphic engine that was not open source. And then I started working in an agency that like it was growing very fast, and we started using open source. I was in charge of culture and trying to do education also. And so we started to use open source as a way to like level up like the developers that were entering. I think it is amazing. When you do open source right, you can not only your like technical skills, but you interact with maintainers, your communication skills, like social skills. That is, at the end of the day, it is what a lot of us lack, and like that should improve. So I was doing that, and like this open source, we started to open source some applications, and then like as a way, we had this little open source club, and as a way to like show that it's possible to do PRs, I started to do PRs myself and saying like, well, this is how you do it. And I started saying, oh, I remember why I really like it to do this before. And then it was like first view use. I was like, we released an application that was a view grid generator, CSS grid generator. So that was like very easy to extract some utilities, like push it to view use. I met Anthony Fu there, that I imagine like a lot of the audience know. And then Vite Press, and then I started like taking, I remember saying to these folks, like, go and choose 4 open source projects you like and try to collaborate to them. Join their Discord, like do a documentation PR, like help them triage. And I choose 4. One of them was Vite, because like Evan was starting in to do the refactoring from Vite 1 to Vite 2. That was like a really, really big sprint of like 3 months he did there. And so that was one of the projects, and I started doing that myself too. And like send, as normally it happened, you send some documentation PRs. There was a lot of rollup plugins that needed to be compatible at that point. And they weren't compatible, and because it was like just starting and the code was changing a lot. So I was reporting these compatibility issues, like very like mechanical work, but that is still helpful, like going through each of the plugins and saying, okay, like this work, this doesn't work because of this, like giving a minimal reproduction. And Evan at that point was just like in like beast mode and like closing issues as soon as I hit the open button. And it was really like rewarding to participate in that. Yeah. And from there, one thing I really enjoy doing also, as like I was doing it also like kind of professionally in this agency, that it was working, like generating spaces to collaborate between the people, like, I don't know, a JavaScript channel where people can help each other. Like this was like 150 developers. So like, it's good to have these things. So in the same way, there was no Discord for Vite. So we proposed it, hey, like let's do a community. Like it seems like the project is ready for that. Evan created the community. made me an Anthony Fu at that point, an admin. And I was like, wow, he's really trusting me more than I should maybe be trusted at this point. But I think like this is something that maintainers have a good eye in, when to like encourage others to get involved and become also maintainers and not only contributors. So yeah, like I started doing a lot of community there, like in Discord, like helping others. And when Evan created, after the V2 was released, Evan needed to refocus on Vue because this Vite sidetrack like was taking a lot of like time from him. So he decided to create a team for daily maintenance. And again, like Anthony Fu, me, and Anderfin were the first team members. Anderfin now is working on Rolldown. So like he's still involved. And from there we started, working with Anthony, like proposing new team members, like trying to expand this team, because it was a lot of responsibility, to be honest. I didn't have the experience at that point to like be in charge. Like it's not like I ever was in charge alone of like the Vite, because luckily we had so many people. Like Anthony was there, obviously, that is like very helpful. But at the same time, we got a lot of very, very good people, frameworks starting to use Vite, and from each framework that joined, kind of like brought someone from there that like ended up being part of the team.
One thing I'm wondering, because if I look at open source projects, mostly I pick the ones that I'm particularly interested in. And that might be my bias, but like bundlers is such a different thing from what you normally do as like JavaScript developers. It's like basically the complete opposite. Like you have mostly no UI. So you don't have like this immediate feedback loop. With bundlers, you basically just look, does it build the thing correctly? More very high level, right? I don't want to like diminish any like your effort at all, but like from like a mindset perspective, why was Vite like on your top four list for like open source projects to dive into?
That's a very interesting question. And I will say that this like idea you have of Vite, like is more about ESBuild or about Rollup,
that's true,
or about Rolldown. Like these are extremely complex pieces of like engineering that like generates like these like massively efficient bundling. I was not interested in that part.
Yeah, this doesn't sound very interesting, to be super honest.
I will still honestly say that like I'm amazed by the people that do that kind of engineer. But what Vite, like why it attracted to me, like Vite was part of this movement, like other projects like Snowpack, WMR, Web Dev Server. All these projects were actually what you say, like there isn't this feedback loop. That was exactly what attracted me to it, because we were used to, for other like Webpack like bundlers, where you started a dev server and it had to bundle the whole application, your application, before sending that to the browser, and you will like had to wait. And then like the hot module replacement was fast, but it wasn't instant. It was not the same as grabbing like a color in the dev tools and like exploring and say like, oh, let's see how this like background will look with different colors. And it's very nice. Like, I don't know if you saw some of the talk from Brett Victor or like this kind of like design by exploration where...
I should probably.
Yeah, they are very good. And we can put some links, I think, at one point.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
To me, it was very interesting. Like the model that Vite was proposing was, let's not bundle during dev. In build time, yes, like let's put all the resources. Like we use it, like you could think of it as an opinionated rollup setup, like working out of the box, like doing the more performance thing. And performance there was not the most important part for us, because the idea is that you will develop most of your time in dev mode. And in dev mode, Vid will only like start a smart dev server that knows how to serve files that normally the browser will just like choke with. So for example, if you have a TypeScript file, a Vue file, a JSX, so if the browser will, like, you just send that assist to the browser, it explodes. So what Vid was doing is in the middle, like saying, okay, like this is a TS file, I will strip the types, I will give that. And then I will like handle the import so like the browser can still request like the proper thing, because you cannot have like in the same way of like importing relative like to the file system, like in the browser, like it should be like in the root of the so the idea there was that this smart dev server was an unbundled setup that was completely different from what it was coming before, and it was extremely fast. And when you, not only in the startup, but later on when you started to play like with this like color picker in CSS, you could see the same, that you had the same experience you had in the DevTools now in your editor. And that was really magical. Like it is interesting because after 4 years or 5 years, now maybe it doesn't feel magical anymore. That is kind of table stake, and that's good. But that was very attractive at that point.
No, I get that. Like I do remember like Webpack, just the hot module reload taking like, okay, let me grab a cup of coffee. I'll be back here in a minute. I would like to talk a little bit more about the community aspect that you mentioned before, because if I look at my Discord, I get an immediate panic attack from like 500 channels with like all like a badge icon of like 99 plus something. So this might just be me, because I'm like, I'm very interested in everything going on. So I'm very eager to just like, oh, I should sign up to this other new channel that just popped up or something. So the list is growing and growing. How do you keep on top of all those things? Maybe it's just me and I'm not able to, but
yeah, you can't. That's okay, you know, cool. So like, so then you can relax. Like when you cannot, you can say like, okay, yeah, then I will do like whatever, and like it will be fine. It will help. I think the difference is that you are not alone. Like Discord only works when you manage to get a group of people that wants to help each other. It's not like if you structure Discord in a way that you are in the middle of a star, that every message right. goes through you, or even like if the team is in the middle, then it completely breaks and everybody burns out and stop looking at it. And this is, there is a lot of details in that regard, but people are starting to ping, like, you know, like so you can take a lot of measurement to try to teach like people how to properly use this. And it's a lot easier, to be honest, at the start of the project when you are only like talking with early adopters, that they know the right etiquette and they are very eager to help each other. So like it's very different, new Discord that maybe you have 100 people that everybody is like very passionate and building on top of this new tool. That's completely different to what later happened, for example, in Vid, that nowadays is not like to throw shade on and like anyone, because this is like the normal way things evolve. But a lot of what is happening in the public channels right now is our new users joining, like asking for help. And there you still need to, like for it to work, still need to be that there are like good community members that wants to help. And maybe it's a completely different set from the contributors doing code, because they are different skills even. I think it scales when you have like a good group of people.
Yeah.
Then later on, you can create also private spaces. Because if not, like what happens is that when the public channels are too noisy because there is too much stuff, too many questions, people will resort to DMs. So like to try to move that DMs into like a place where you can still have that builder to builder communication, you can still create like more private spaces that feel like that original, like early builder adopter Discord.
I'm wondering now, what you think, like, because like Vite is the most popular bundler these days. More or less every one major project offers support for it. Do you think it's more like that the success that Vite has is coming from like the technical aspects of things, of like it's fast, it has great support, it offers like everything developers are looking for more or less? Or do you think like this community aspect is there? Because from my perspective with Webpack, like 10 years ago, it was just very painful. There was like getting help was painful. That's what my final statement. So if you would have to attribute the success of Vite to one of those things, what would you pick?
Can I pick both? Or like
kind of both.
Or I need to pick only
one. It's a very politically correct answer.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I think that Evan set the correct pieces on like when it went from Vite 1 to Vite 2, there were like several changes. For example, like from WMR, we got the idea of having a universal rollup plugin API that works with the same plugin that you write. It works in build and dev. And and that allows so many exploration and a very intuitive API that framework just like went there and created like a whole world on top of it. So I think that the technical aspects were good. A lot of very good developers and passionate developers joined the Vite team and contribute, being contributors also, not only the smaller team, but they polish so much the tool, because that is, if you have like a good idea, but at the end, like you have like 1,000 paper cuts, it start like, it doesn't work. And at the same time, there were a lot of people that really like to also do like community ecosystem work. Like we didn't mention like the word ecosystem, but I think that was very important in that. I always say that maybe we will be talking about the Snowpack at this point. Like it could be any of them, because what we needed at that point is that frameworks were ready for a new like common shared base where we can say, okay, like let's work on these problems at this level so we don't need to replicate them all around. And like right now you have maybe 15, 20 different frameworks on top of Vite. And if each of that framework should do like this work of like following with like node versions and rollup and TypeScript and make it sure that all works like out of the box, like without any problem, and like DX is like it will be like such a waste. So yeah. At one point, like Svelte was using the Snowpack, they moved it to Vite. The team that was doing a Snowpack is starting to do Astro, and they move it to Vite. And then at one point we say WMR, for example, was that was from the preact fork, and they also deprecated WMR and move it to Vite. And at one point, like the ecosystem say, okay, like, the Vite will be this base. And I think, like as I said, we got so much from every one of these framework joining. Like you will start to get issues written by Rich Harris and a PR going with it, and you, like as I said, like I was gaining experience as like we were maintaining, and for me it was like, yes, I will merge the PR of Rich Harris.
Yes, whatever you say.
Thank you, Rich. And it was like I always loved like all these connections between the teams and like ecosystem, because Rich Harris started Rollup, for example. That was like the basis from where we build this. And then like Lucas continued to develop it. But there are so many examples of like all these tools. Like at one point, because we had this scale and like a lot of projects started to use it, like we could justify bigger investment in saying like, okay, maybe we can do a tool like Vitest. Like it was unthinkable at first to say, let's do a new testing framework. Let's compete with Jest. It was completely unthinkable. And then at one point, because like, the story of Jest and Bit was not good, and we had all this momentum, you get like someone like Anthony Fu inspire and saying, okay, I have a proof of concept working in 4 hours.
Why do I see him like sitting somewhere and be like, watch me? I think I'm very glad you brought this up, because the thing with Vitest is if you think like the jump from pretty much any building tool to Vit is crazy, like the jump from any test tool to Vitest in terms of developer experience is just so good. Like even if you're not using Vit, I would always use Vitest. Because like, the minute you use Vitest once and then use something else again, you notice how painful everything is. And Vitest like everything works. It just works.
Yeah, there's so much work like that. Shout out to Vladimir, Ari, Hiroshi for all the work that they have been doing now. Then that's also like why it works, no? Like very good people also joining that team.
Oh, I'm sure that it's just not like. Oh, it works now. I can tell that.
That 4 hours were all that needed.
Yes. So one thing I'm a little bit worried is a wrong word, but like because it's such a fast-moving space, like everything is in JavaScript, are you to some extent concerned that like tomorrow someone vibe codes a new web dev tool that, with Rust probably, that is like crazy fast? And I'm not saying it's realistic, but like
I think it is.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like if speed is such a fundamental driver for the success of this project.
Yeah. So I was thinking that was going to be the life of Vit, as is usual with any project, you know, like exactly. They have like an adoption curve, and it is very rare to have something like TypeScript that just grows and then takes complete over, and then there is like start to be built into everything, and there is no more even discussion about like it's like competing with TypeScript at this point is like impossible. I don't want to like, if you are competing with TypeScript, like go, because maybe you can inspire them to be better, you know, but it's still like it is like I'm very high uphill battle. But so I think that with the life of Vit, it was like extremely interesting to me, something that we didn't discuss, but like as you say, like I work at the Staglitz, and part of like riding that grow that we were having was that the Staglitz hired me, because there was a lot of alignment between Vit and what Staglitz needed. Like they were working on web containers that allows you to run Node in the browser. They have this IDE that it was like instantly giving you like a playground, but then you have like an older build tool taking minutes, and it was like completely breaking the magic. So the time when Eric Simmons, the CEO, like saw Vit, it was like, yes, this is what we need. Or if not, we had to build it. So they started to put resources there. Then Anthony Fu got hired by NaxLab. Jorn got hired by Astro. And then we could sustain the growth as we were going. And still, I thought at one point that, yeah, like there could be other tools coming. And there were, like TurboPack. Vercel is starting to work on TurboPack for Next. That Next is like the project that is not using Vit at this point. RSpack is starting also to work on, like from VitDance, to work on an alternative to Webpack in Rust. And ESBuild kept growing. Like that's crazy. But ESBuild was always very, very like scope limited, and it didn't want it to create a whole ecosystem like and open up all the like plugin API that you need if you want to create like a whole ecosystem for frameworks. That is like a good decision. That is like a one-man show. Like Evan Wallace is like amazing doing that. And So I saw that like it was completely possible that like Vid will go on and then maybe be replaced or maybe like be an option. Maybe you want to use Vid for certain projects. You know, like you can find niche. But Vid kept growing. And what happened at one point was that Evan Jo like said, okay, like Vid is at a level at this point where we need to start taking like more responsibility. And this, I think, was like a natural progression with the scale, because at the beginning, you can see Evan closing issues, saying and keeping like a very like laser focused scope for Vid that helped it a ton, saying like, we are not going to support Electrum, for example, because we are a front-end tool. We are not going to support that use case. Just like there are other tools. Go use Webpack. Like, so this was like, go use Webpack was like something normal to say at the beginning. But at this point, at one point, it started to be hard to tell others, jump out of the ecosystem if Vid is not enough for you. So one, like there, I think there were two main issues that we had with Vid. And this was a little bit worried for me in the sense of like how we are going to, like three issues, like how we are going to manage the scale. So first issue was funding and like how we continue to scale, because we will need more people working on Vid. Another one was speed for very large applications. Like not like Vid work it perfectly when you have 1,000 modules or less, that will be like most projects. But if you have these like I don't know how to describe them, but like it's like 10,000, 20,000 module massive project inside an enterprise, then you're still like, if you start to send all the modules unbundled or even roll up during build, it takes too much time. And some of the other tools like AirSpark, TurboPack, at one point they will be ready to tackle this large project in a better way. And we could still say like, okay, like if your project at one point reaches that scale, move away. But it's very hard to like do a project that doesn't like scale until the end with you. So that was the second one. And the third one was that we needed a more flexible API, because we only had like this client and then SSR like environment, like default. The two were like kind of hard coded in Vid that took us very far away with the framework game. But frameworks are starting to be a lot more complex, and they have like 3-4 environments, like something in Node, in a Node server, something in the edge, in like Cloudflare Worker, like a client, and so they needed more flexibility. And this reason could have been what like took a slowly Vid down with other alternatives like taking over. But what happened at the end is that Evan created Voizero, and now you have I see like 10 plus extremely like good full-time developers working to tackle first like the funding and the like scale is solved, the first issue. And it's not like other companies are like backing, like for example, Stackblitz is still hiring me. And not only that, we, after Voizero was announced, we hired Ali Perkio, that is working half time on Vitest and the other time in Bolt. So like we still like are like very, like we even invested in Voizero, like Stackblitz invested.
Makes sense.
And so there is very good relationship there. And they are working on Rolldown that will replace, eventually it's like a rollup port in Rust, and will eventually replace both rollup and ESBuild, that ESBuild is in Go. So yeah. Vid always had these two bundlers that were like, if you need a speed, you use ESBuild. If you need flexibility, use rollup, and we combine them, like trying like that it doesn't show that actually you have two completely different things inside. And Rolldown will have the scope of both, like be as fast as ESBuild, have things like JSX, like TS, like type striping directly inside built-in, and at the same time have the flexibility of the Rollup plugin API, like being like a best effort and being compatible. So that is already like in the next minor, the documentation of it already will tell people how to try it out in their project. Safi Red, that is one of the Vitkor maintainers, have been doing an amazing job on a new like fork of Vit. It's called Rolldown Vit, that already replaces the bolt pieces. So that was the second, and it's tackled. And the third one, we spent like the last 2 years actually reworking like everything internally in Vit with environment API. And now you're able to create as many environments as you need, and like you are able to run them in whatever runtime you need. And so now it's also flexible. So like it with these three things, now I'm it feels that Vit is just starting. This is like my feeling right now.
Interesting. Real quick about the environment API, because that's probably like one of my favorite release announcement blog posts. Because it's basically saying like, oh, we're so excited to announce the environment API.
Yes.
It's huge game changer, but if you're a normal user, you probably don't care. So I was just like, okay, and it's like a little bit more verbose than that, right? Like it's explaining it a little bit, but I was reading it and was like, it sounds exciting. I can tell that the team is excited about it, but I have no idea what this is doing. But now the way you talk about it, like, oh yeah, okay, like tools like TenStack Start, Solid Start are massively going to benefit from things like that.
Yeah, exactly. The idea would be that frameworks will actually use this, that is a more like low level API that we directly promote like Vit at one point is a toolkit for framework authors.
Yes.
It was built by Evan, that is a framework authors, like with all like his own needs in there. So like normally, like we take like pride, like if a user upgrades a Vit Mayor and say like, wow, everything just works. Like if they don't notice that Vit is there, then Vit is doing its job.
I think that is a good way for open source projects to look at things, because I mean, to some extent also, like often open source work is like a way for like a creative outlet. That's at least how I use it a lot these days. So if I have 10 users, I don't care if I break 10 users. And it's a little harsh, but I for like bigger projects, I love that there's a diligence to say like the ideal scenario would be to not break our users.
Yeah, obviously. And there is so much going on behind the scenes for that to happen. Like at one point, for example, like we were doing releases and like user count was growing, and like pressing that release button was starting to be so scary. Like really scary. And what we did at one point is that Dominic Shi created this structure called Vit Ecosystem CI, where it's a repo that like with together with some GitHub actions that is connected to our repo. And we get reports like weekly on the main of how Vit is working with all the CIs of the ecosystem. I think there are like 25 CIs right now. And also every time that we need to merge a PR, for example, like if we want to merge it for a patch, we will first see like, are we going to break someone or not with this?
No, and that's cool.
Like before pressing the release button, we now see that everything is green. So at least we can say like, hey, like if we break someone, like you're not testing for that. So that was like so much helpful.
Yeah, I talked with Daniel Rowe about that, because he was also like, this is such a game changer for us to know like there's going to be a breaking change that we might need to handle or something. So that's a fantastic idea for an ecosystem, particularly with like such a fundamental technology like used in such a broad system. I mean, I think we met for the first time and like walking past each other like 2 weeks ago at this point. So probably by the time this goes live a little later, but we were in Amsterdam and you announced VitConf.
Yeah.
In person VitConf. Yeah. So the thing is, VitConf has happened for the last 3 years. years?
Yes, we are. This will be like the fourth edition. This was one of the very interesting things that happened, like with having that extra funding from Stacklytz. So like one of the like first conversation I had with Eric when I joined the Stacklytz was he said to me, look, let's do a, like, what do you think if we do a VIT conference? And I said, like, we don't have experience for doing that. What are you talking about? But at the same time, there was already some discussions in the community, like, let's do a meetup, let's do like a small thing. And there was the intention of like, there was enough movement for something like that, but we didn't have like experience, we didn't have the funding and like to go and do these kind of things. And basically Eric said, like, you know, like you have the marketing team of Stacklytz. You have like the, like, we are going to hire producers. We are like, yeah, let's go. And it was really interesting. Like they even put like designers, like web designers to do web page and like all like they use it, Stacklytz, we use it, our mailing list, like to invite people so like they actually grow. And we ended up with that first year, I think like 24,000 people like created, like
for you.
Going
nice.
Going in that online conference, 44 speakers, I think, like, and it was like a 24-hour marathon that we did. And it was so nice for the ecosystem. I think that first one was so special, like to like canalize all that energy there. And it was online. It was like this 24-hour because we wanted to be around the globe.
I loved that part of it. That was really well done.
It was really, really nice. And then we did the second edition and we did a third edition and we are starting to get like, hey, are you going to do one in person one day like this? And we said the same as before, like, we don't have the experience for that. it's a different game to do.
It's a whole different thing.
Yes. But it happened this year that Evan was looking to do a in-person conference. And so like we were already connected with the JS World folks that are doing like this amazing conference for Vue and the ecosystem at large in a theater in Amsterdam that is so beautiful. I love that conference so much. Like it's like 1,000 people, so it's not like these massive things. Like you still get to talk a lot to all the attendees, and like there is a lot of speaker communication. It's really, really nice. And single track that I love also, that about conferences. And
probably my favorite stage I've been on too, because it's just like, it kind of feels like a theater. So you're like, see literally everyone. You're not like standing above the audience. Like you're actually below. So everyone looks down on you and it's like a great atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have those massive screens behind you where you're like, it's so tiny.
It's a little bit scary, to be honest.
It is intimidating, but
in the photos it looks so good.
That's so cool.
I completely love it. And so we like as we do with this, like again, like the relationship with Evan and VoiceZero, like Eric Stacklytz, like it's very good. So like we talk it and say, look, like we were also thinking on something like going in person, but we did like the experience. So why, instead of having like a smaller conference, we like join forces, do a very big one and like continue the tradition of like that VidConf started and say this year, like VidConf in person. So this year we are organizer partners. So like I'm going to like the last editions I was very behind the organization together with other people from Stacklytz. But right now, like we are going to be more in a consulting role. Like I just met today with Evan and Joss, and it's
nice,
so nice. Like already, like I'm getting excited about like how good it's going to be. Tickets are going to be sold soon. So
just for like, Joss is the person organizing the Dev World, and because I feel like we're dropping names left and right a little bit.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good. I know who you're talking about, but I can see like people watching this and be like, Joss.
Who is Joss? I missed the last three characters like there. So I think it's going to be really, really nice. VConf has always been this place where also projects like a Storybook in the first one, they went there and say, you can now run a Storybook with Vite and no Webpack. Because until then, if you wanted to run a Storybook, you were running Webpack and Vite at the same time. Like, that was the state of the ecosystem at that point. And like, we always like had like teams choose to do like big announcement, roll up, like Lucas choose to do like the major like release on that day, for example. Evan choose to do the Voice Zero announcement that day.
I remember.
Last year, we announced it Bolt, that completely changed established. And now we are kind of Bolt, or like, yeah, they're both things. And so like I'm expecting this year to also be kind of like big.
I can imagine. But it's still like from a, like a similar, because how do I say this? But usually it's often that the last couple of VeteConfs, they were basically like project maintainers doing the big announcement. So it's more like very technical talks, and then somewhere sprinkled in, like, I remember, like, I've seen a Playwright talk, for instance, that was like more pragmatic for like actual developers.
Yeah.
What is like what you're trying with the, because with an in-person conference, you cannot do like 24 hours.
No.
I mean, you can. It would be pretty fucking cool.
So we are aiming right now for 2 days, and like, it's interesting because it's going to be around like half the speakers that we have like normally, because we had 24 hours before, and online is a lot easier for like preparing talks beforehand. We are going to keep an online like a stream, because like we still want to give anyone the opportunity to, like, if you want to be with us, like, of course, like, came there. But if not, like, we want to keep that online part. I seen the vibe. If someone has gone to the theater before, we are aiming like that experience, like around 1,000 people, like something that is more like still on the personal side, you know? And also the content wise, there probably is going to be like, we have a lot more to show from the Vite side maybe than other times, because Voice Zero has been like working like crazy. Yeah. And now we have a lot of people working on this. So I will expect like some more talks about Rolldown, OXE Lint, OXE, like, but at the same time, there will be a lot of slots that are for the ecosystem, because this was always what VeteConf was about. Like Vite to us, it shines through others, like through the people that are building on top of Vite. So, from tools like Vitesse or Storybook to frameworks like SvelteKit, Nax, TanStack Star, and like other projects like that are not directly building on top of Vite, but like Nitro, for example, that like Vite but for servers. And so there is, to be honest, there is too much for a single conference, but this will just be the first year. And like, hopefully this starts like a tradition of like, okay, VeteConf 26 will be even bigger.
It's kind of terrible, because at the beginning of the year, I was like, okay, I should really scale down a little bit with conference. And then end of last year, Josh Goldberg did SquiggleCon, where I was like, oh, this is super exciting. Now there's VeteCon, and I'm like, oh, my travel schedule is already like... But I'm generally excited for you. I think this is a great thing for the ecosystem. And Amsterdam is just such a perfect spot for this. We already talked about this.
Yeah. And one thing that to me is important, like this idea of like meeting in person later on helps so much when you work online with others. And
yes.
2 years ago, in Vue.js Amsterdam, just like managed to get 10 people from the Vite team together for the first time.
Oh, that's cool.
It was the first time I saw Evan, the first time I saw Anthony Fu. It was first time that we all met each other after work for like 2 years. And it was so nice. And we actually designed the environment API like with paper and like pen in the venue.
Nice.
Like we were sitting in a table with Vladimir, like one of the maintainers of Vitesse. that had a strong influence on like environment API. And it was, yeah, so the venue had a lot of like really history for us. And now it may be a really good opportunity also for like the new people that join from Voice Zero that like I don't know a lot of them. Like I have never met Boshen, for example, the author of OXC. And so like I'm really looking forward to like meeting like all of them.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think we should, I'll put the link in the show notes to VidConf because I would very highly recommend everyone to go there. I'll most likely be there, even though it's quite some trip, but I'm very excited for it. So is there anything else that you would like to plug at this point? Otherwise, I think we're at a good point to slowly wrap things up. Anything that you want to give a shout out to? Now I put you on the spot.
Let's do a general shout out to like everybody, like the sheer amount of people that is behind all these tools, because like to maintain something like Vite, and like if you consider a whole ecosystem, like it would be nice to have like this kind of like graph where all the people and project are connected and all the relationship, because you will see how much work there is behind all these tools. So like shout out to everybody that is like, from people like doing it in their spare time, from like companies actually funding people to do the work that is like really important, to everybody that is just like funding the other developers that are doing this, and users, even users like doing nice reports like with minimal reproductions, like
it's a little
everybody
verify that it's a nice report, but
yes, everybody collaborates to create something like this.
Awesome. Thank you so much really for joining me today. This was great. I love seeing your perspective on like how those things come together, and really thank you so much for joining us. And
yeah, thanks a lot, like it was a great conversation.
Thanks. And then thanks everyone for listening today, and see you next time. Bye.
Bye.